Peace and bliss. Welcome to Provoke Thought Podcast, the space where candid conversations meet genuine connections. And I'm Provoke Thought, your steadfast host on this journey. And joining me in this adventure is not just a co-host, but a dear friend with unwavering passion for breaking the silence. Please welcome Icy Action, and together, we're set to explore, discuss, and laugh our way through breaking the silence with the aim of bringing you insight and perspectives and perhaps a few surprises along the way. So buckle up and get ready for engaging conversations and authentic commentary between IC Action and me. This is Provoke Thought Podcast, where friendship meets the mic. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to open up. The topic is breaking the silence. And so, you know, I want to delve into domestic violence, sexual abuse, drug use, and stuff like that. What is your take on the allegations of P. Diddy?
Well, first and foremost, I just feel like people have been coming for Cassie saying, why now? Why is she speaking out? And I feel like when you are actually the person that's been abused, it takes time to put everything in perspective. And it takes a lot of courage to speak out, because for one, it's embarrassing. For two, you constantly have to relive the situations or the situation that happened. And three, you just don't want everybody in your business. You know, some things you find personal, you know, and you want to keep them internalized, but the abuse and the damage that happened, you know, it can play a take a toll on your life, on your
right
forward, trying to be a mom or a girlfriend, you know. And then you can find yourself also being abusive to others and not really knowing or understanding why, because it's not a lot of help out there for people, or women of color, I should say. Because, you know, it's normalized. They think that men are supposed to treat us and defile us and look down upon us. You know, people take black women for, or women of color for a joke. They think that, like, oh, her baby daddy gonna cheat on her. You know, if you were black, they're like, what's the struggle between being a black woman? Oh, you're gonna be a single parent, you know? And it's like,
right, that's a statistic.
Yeah, and they've adjusted and adapted to that. So then it's not just people of our own ethnicity that's this, you know, disrespecting us. It's the way that everybody sees us, you know? So it's like Cassie to step into her big girl pants and say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to just speak it no matter what happens, you know? And why she compensation? I mean, it takes, like I said, mentally, physically, emotionally, it takes a toll on you. So she's going to have to deal with that, you know? And hopefully she can get through it. I'm proud of her, and, you know, I'm happy that she's using her voice, because who is Diddy to abuse people? He does this to everybody. And
allegedly, yes.
You know, everybody's been okay with that. And that's the cycle, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, me and you have been discussing this for the past, what, a couple of days. So just digging off and into everything, it is heavy duty and it is extreme. And, you know, the focus is not just, I want to highlight Cassie too. That right. Bravery is everything and I love it. But it was, you know, as far as this industry go, and I try not to touch it, because at the end of the day, as far as coming into spirituality, I do not idolize. I do not follow. These people have no more or no less than me at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy, because it's not just, at this point, allegedly P. Diddy. It's so many people. There's been a lot of deaths behind it.
Right.
So, it's
more to the situation than what meets the eye. We just outside looking in. And I just want to say, at the end of the day, everybody else that's coming out speaking on the situation with her, or speaking on the situation of the abuse with other people, how dare you not step in? What stopped you from interfering or doing the intervention and saying, hey, you have a problem? You know, where are the men at? Where are people at that really give a damn? Everybody want to be in the spotlight now talking about, oh, yeah, he did it. Okay, so you just as guilty as him. Because when he was over there blackening her eye and busting her upside her head, you didn't feel like as a man, like, hey, this could be my daughter. Oh, it's not your situation. That's what people need to stop doing, is taking a blind eye to these things. Because what if he took her life? Then you're going to be part of a cover up. Because now you're going to have to go, oh, yeah, you know, create a story, something fictitious.
But at the end of the day, allegedly, you know, she just happened to be the lucky one, because there were people allegedly that have lost their life. So it's heavy duty. But at the end of the day, I'll say this, you know, and I shared this on my podcast as far as domestic violence. I shouldn't be here. And I'm lucky to be here, because the intention was not for me to be here. And that's crazy that I was even in a situation like that. So, you know, I'll say this. Just being able to follow the story, watch it. You know what I'm saying? I can hear what people don't say. I know, you know, I have discernment.
I
have discernment and know who's telling the truth, where the lie is, where it curves off, where it this makes sense. Because I've been in those situations. A lot of people, you know what I'm saying, can't relate. And I know you and I, you know, share that. We can definitely relate. So, man, it's just heavy duty. I want to share a story too. You know, just different stuff. I have so many survival techniques. It's not even funny, being that I went through domestic violence. I cannot be put in no situation to where I can't get out of. I'm sharp and I think fast. You know what I'm saying? I'll jump out a window, even if it's 10 stories, and I know I'm gonna make it, but I'll take that risk before I sit and find out what somebody gonna do to me. You know what I'm saying? But even this too, you know what I'm saying? People are young. People feel like because they have money, they can take advantage of people. You know what I'm saying? And being that people are young and they're aspiring to, I guess, I don't know, make a way for themselves. So they feel like sometimes they have to be naive or have to put themselves in a situation to where they don't use, you know what I'm saying, their morals or their... I know this as a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. I remember I had a good friend of mine, and I remember her mom was so cool. She used to take in different girls that were runaways. Right. And I happened to be staying the night that weekend. And we were about 15 at this age. Her mom was really, really cool. And, you know, we're hanging out. We're all talking. This particular girl, I didn't know her that well, but I knew of her from middle school. And I remember she was telling me a story, or she was telling us a story, how, you know, there was an older guy. I didn't know who he was at first till she described him. And she was saying how she had been in his room and this and that. But mind you, you know, as I'm listening to the story, I'm putting two and two together. And I'm thinking, wow, I know this particular individual. And being that we are 15, how she been in this grown man's room?
What's the purpose of being in there?
But, you know, I listened. I've always kept this story. I never told it. And I've just always held it like, damn. A lot of people move around and they feel like they have money and they have these careers and they have wives and they have children that they can do things, especially to girls that are misfortunate or are in position. You know what I'm saying? I never knew. She didn't say what took place in that room, but at the end of the day, there's no reason for her to be in that room. I know this individual. I'll never forget it. I'll never speak their name, but this is a story I do know. And I always think about it, and I watch these people as they move and you know, in their day-to-day lives, and I be thinking to myself, like, these people are strange. They're weird. And sometimes they hold their stuff high in stature in their community. And at the end of the day, I'm going to just keep it real and honest. They're freaks. They're pedophiles in real life. You feel me?
And that's why they do. That's why they keep that. Not to interrupt you, but that's why they probably have such a false persona, because they don't want to bring that on to them. You know what? Who's gonna say, "Oh, well, he has a wife and this and that, and he's always there at the football games with the kids," you know, and all that stuff. But they put themselves around people that they can manipulate with actions of kindness and normalcy. And then behind closed doors, they are a freak that you never want to meet. You know, and that's why people, children need guidance and people that love them. It doesn't necessarily have to be a parent, but I just believe in, at the end of the day, it's a responsibility of the community. When you see a child that's out of, out of place, or needing help to assist them, because you never know what somebody's going through and how you could prevent a death or a defilement of a life. Because once you take advantage of somebody, then they go out into the world where normal people are, kids that's at home with their parents, and might, you might not know the signs of somebody because you're not around them like that. So then you trust somebody, like, okay, yeah, you can go over there. Yeah. They seem like a nice kid, and they end up doing something to your child, and now you got to come and hurt everybody or do something, because I know me, I'm not going for it. Like, I tried my best to protect my children at all costs and my family members, and I love them. And that's why I tell my children the truth. I'm like, hey, it's a lot of different type of people in the world. And you don't want to become victimized by this type of person. But that's why little girls need their fathers, and they need their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents. You know, they need somebody that's there to keep them on the straight and narrow. You have to be present. It's sad because, you trust people with your children, and all it takes is one time for something to happen to destroy them. And I mean, it's one of those things that makes you sick, because if you shelter them so much, they still victimized because they don't know how to adjust to the world. And then when you just let them out, somebody could take that innocence from them. And that is something that's so heartbreaking. Like, I personally, being in the industry, a musician and stuff, I've never idolized anybody either. I think Beyonce, all them people, everybody, they regular people. I'm like, oh my God, this is it. I really could care less. Yeah, I enjoy their music sometimes from here and there, but I really don't care. I just think, like, my mom and them didn't raise me to be a fan of people. I'm a fan of me, honey.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I set the trends. Whatever I do, I'm not in competition with nobody. When people get blessed and they got money or whatever, I'm happy for them. When they less fortunate, I might not have as much as Beyonce or much as industry person that's just rich and stuff, but I try to share. I don't feel good having everything and somebody else don't have it, because not only will you become a target and somebody will hurt you or try to rob you, I know what it's like to be hungry, not because I was like homeless or poor. It's because of decisions that I chose and put myself in the situation. So I could easily understand why Cassie kept her mouth closed or, went through it, because especially being a teen and coming into that situation, and then you're on your own. I don't know where her parents were or the situation with that, but it's just like, it's so easily just one of those things that's taboo that we don't get, because common sense, I'd be like, well, my child ain't going in there. But I just learned that Raven parents gave her got her a breast reduction and a liposuction twice before she was 13 years old. That is crazy. And her daddy suggested that. And it's like, she said she had to be on a strict diet and all these things. See, to be a little girl and somebody that you're supposed to love, supposed to give you confidence, our parents are supposed to build us up, not to us down. Society is so hard on people of color. I can only reference the people of color because of me, how I look. You understand? And so me just being like that, huh?
If I can intervene in that, I have a daughter, 23. She just made it to reality TV, Mean Girls of LA. You should be appearing on Now That's TV. I think she'll be airing in about a month or so. It worries me. She is a go-getter. She's an Aries, so she is strong-headed, very independent. So, I do, put different things in her ear about different things, so she's young too, so mistakes are going to be made, but at the end of the day, being a mom, I do worry about her, but at the same time, I do trust that she has great instinct, but with these type of situations, it do, it makes you think, but I'm always be there to do what I'm supposed to do as far as that. So I just want to say, too, with everything, it's not just this, because, I have to pull this in here, because, my mind be everywhere, so I think it's not just with the R. Kelly, surviving R. Kelly, the Bill Cosbys with the Quaaludes and the drinks, and the Epstein Islands and all this different stuff, and I don't want to get too deep. You guys can follow my Provoked Thought on TikTok if, like I said, I don't want to get too deep. However, I just know, and then with me being spiritual, there's retrogrades that's going on. So, I know with There's a Jupiter retrograde, which lasts until late December. Saturn retrograde, I think that just barely ended. Neptune retrograde, I think it kind of ends in December 6th. And then the Mercury retrograde begins December 13th. So it's a lot of serious chaos, frequency, and energy going on right now. But not all are created equal, and they bring different and often turbulent energy than each other. Some are overwhelmingly positive, but I know, you know, if you're tapped in and you're spiritual, you'll feel a lot of these things, especially with these three retrogrades overlapping itself. So the retrogrades is the way that the planets appear, and metaphorically speaking, it indicates a decline or regression or a backwards movement in a non-celestial context. So I want to just say this while I'm speaking about these retrogrades. If anybody that is aligned and is actually following this, the best thing that you can do with these things occurring is stand centered. Staying centered is crucial. So focus on self-care, maintain open communication, and embrace adaptability. Reflect on past experience to learn and grow, but avoid unnecessary anxiety about things that are beyond your control. So keep a positive mind frame. Trust your instincts, and remember challenges can lead to valuable insight, and cultivate patience, prioritize self-reflection, and use time as an opportunity for personal development. So big ups to Cassie for that. Hopefully there's other women though that need to be able to come out. What's her name? Misa. I know, I'm pretty sure Mary J. Blige, Kimora Lee Simmons, Jaguars already busted it wide open. Big ups to her. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where everybody's balls at with this shit, because it's real heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, people don't have balls because you have to look at it the way that the world is. Everybody's influenced by music and their goals and aspirations.
It's a frequency. Music is a frequency.
Yeah. And even with that, it's like, you know, the people, the higher ups, they already know how to control the masses, you know, so they need puppet masters and puppeteers. So it's like, they said something to the degree that they was having a party when Whitney Houston was dying. They basically killed her. And they were downstairs having a party. And
I'm gonna do an insert. Y'all stop calling Kanye crazy.
No, he ain't never been crazy. Kanye West tell the truth. And see, like they said before, even Cat Williams spoke on it. If you don't follow the masses, you don't do what they say, by the time you get home, they're gonna say you crazy and people gonna believe it. You understand?
Yeah, that's
why you have to know how to play the game. If you sit back and you pay attention and be aware, you can make moves to get out of certain situations. But see, when you around the wrong people, all that energy that just moving too fast and you so excited, you go sign this contract. All everybody, even TLC was one of the top rated girl groups, and they was broke. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do the homework, you're not going to learn. You can't be thirsty. I thirst after nothing. Everything that I acquire in my own time. You know, I'm not against the world, I'm not against this person. It's no competition. I'm in competition with me. I'm always trying to learn, strive, and do better. And it's like, you know, I don't have time to keep up with the Joneses. Oh, that person got a house. This person got this. You know, I'm like, no, okay. Even being a mother, like I feel like, you know, I was a mom since I was 16 years old. I've never been a fast kid, but I've been, you know, raped, and I've had things happen to me. And you know, I, as an adult, I'll be 41 this year. I just start processing a lot of things and stop feeling guilty about it. And when you go through certain things, you do lash out. You have a tendency, and it's not because my mom and father didn't love me. That's another story. But it's like, people can only do so much, and you can only hear so much when people don't know how to come and talk to you. You understand? Yeah. So it's like, I had to learn and grow myself up, because the way that the world is, my mom, she grew up in a different time. My father grew up in a different time. So it's like, if you're not compatible, yeah, you can give me advice, but if you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you don't know how to reach me, because I'm still running away because you keep pushing me away. It's, you know, it's like most people, that's why they be like, I didn't know my child was going through that. It's not that we don't take the time to see, and we don't go through the transitions with them. We don't know how to get them, because it's such a gap, you know, from between work and all these things. People, you have to make time for everything that matters to you. That's why when I look at my kids, no matter how much they make me upset, I love you. I give them hugs and kisses. They my babies. My baby is 23, 24. And I'm like, you know, that's my oldest, and my youngest is 7. I got 6 kids. And I'm like, I don't play about none of them. I try to be on point at all times. And it's overwhelming and over exhausting. I'm exhausted because I'm like, you know, I've been doing this since I was 16, but their life is important to me. I want to reprogram them in a way that nobody ever gave me that time that I needed, that I felt like I deserved. Do you understand? My mom did the best she could. Big ups to my mom. You know, she's a remarkable woman. She can do anything. She got so many statues underneath her belt. She was a park ranger, firefighter, you name it. My mom has done it. So that's, I'm used to that work type thing. But her flaws were, when that ended, how to be a lady. Like, you know, I liked the nails, the lipstick and stuff. She just thought that was stupid. You know, she was like, she didn't understand. So on that verge, she lost me, because it's like, okay, why is everything I want to do dumb? But now she have a TikTok and she do that stuff now, and she's into it. And I'm like, gosh, she's 62 and she does that with my daughter. So I sometimes didn't understand it. I was upset and hurt, you know. And now I just said, you know, I'm appreciative of their relationship, because that just lets me know it's nothing wrong with what I was feeling. I'm always being individual. If nobody don't understand me, I understand me. You understand? So it's like with Cassie, she's trying to move forward. She got a family, you know, and she's trying to be a wife. She saw somebody that saw value in her, and he even had her back. He said, oh yeah, you know, he made a remark about Diddy, and I thought it was comical because she's with the Caucasian man. But it's like, it's always somebody else sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, that sees the value of something that somebody else created and said it was trash. You understand? Yes. Cassie was beautiful. Cassie was young. She had potential, still does. But like, why would this old saggy black pervert, you know, like, not to talk about him like that, but that's the image I see when somebody's trying to manipulate somebody and try to take advantage of somebody's innocent. You're disgusting. Yeah. You're dirty. You're ugly. You're foul. You're a monster. You scum, because you can't compete with somebody your own age. Even his ex, Kim, she was beautiful, you know, but she was also somebody else's wife when he first came into the picture. People always want that forbidden fruit. You understand? I can't be swayed by money, because if you can be manipulated into that, it's nothing you won't go for.
Yeah, you good at dumb. You good at dumb.
You understand? So it's like, I get a kick out of seeing how people, instead of investing in somebody that they love, investing in somebody that they want or feel like they have potential and growing and nurturing that, Diddy act like he loved his kids so much. I'm sure if somebody tried to do that to his children, I wonder how he would feel as a father. You understand? But it's like, you want to protect yours, but you want to defile somebody else's. You want to beat these women and all this type of stuff. What kind of corny loser are you? You're sick.
Girl, not just that. I know you got the catch. Did you see Aaron Hall interview?
Yeah, his nasty ass.
I'm gonna tell you, watching that, right, I knew nothing that he said was a lie. He meant everything he said. And to be that cocky and arrogant,
his shit don't
on the radio, where you know that is broadcasted everywhere, you too tough, baby. And if you go back, because I was a teenager and Guy was everything back then, their group.
Yeah, his ball head show.
If you remember, he was the freakiest one in the videos.
I've been scared of his nasty. No, I know his breath stink.
I hate you.
I was like, you know, when somebody is publicly just that outlandish and that arrogant, the first thing I think is stinky, snot licker, shit kicker.
That comes back and that bites your ass right in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
Like, kill him, kill that one. That one deserves to die.
That was tough, but then there's so much more. I can't wait to dwell deep off into it on my free time. But you know, at the same time, it's kind of like a guilty pleasure, because at the same time, I try to focus on my spirituality, because I try to live my life a certain type of way at this point. You know what I mean? So I do sometimes get sidetracked with this type of stuff. But the reason why, you know what I'm saying, me and you got together and I wanted to make this, this topic and this scenario, you know, a big thing, is because You know, I can relate, you can relate, and we don't speak about it enough.
Right. Yeah. And it's almost something like people make it seem like we should be ashamed, you know?
I'm not.
I tell myself,
I've been through and I've conquered.
Right. But you know what?
I've been through a lot, boy.
Huh?
I said I've definitely been through a lot. I tell you, and I to just still have a sound mind and not to be rebellious and not to have so much anger and try to, you know, do things like this positive, just to push positivity and you know, have an outlet where I can help others as well as help myself. Like, you know, I'm so glad that I've been pushed in this type of direction. You know what I mean?
I've always been that type of person that, you know, I come from a family that the women and the men are bosses. Everybody is entrepreneurs, like from you know, my mama, my grandmother, my aunties, my uncles, my brothers, me. And, you know, I never quit moving. I never quit learning.
Yes.
You know, even being out in Las Vegas, I've seen some things. And it has grown me. And I always take responsibility for the things I let in my life and the things that I didn't know was there, but happened to, you know, be there. And yeah. I'm never going to lie to myself. I used to like laugh, kind of not like laugh, but it was a taboo. Like you see some girl out there and you'd be like, oh, she probably a prostitute. You know, that, you know how the first thing you just, not necessarily negative, but just a statistic, just that mindset of where society has you thinking like everybody else until it's you, you know? And then when it's you, it becomes surreal. Like, dang, maybe with the whole thing I was thinking, you know, it's so one-sided because you don't know no better, you know? So I like to educate people. When they meet me, I'm not just a woman of color. I don't go by, the terminology of, I'm Black. I say, you know, I'm her, I'm she. So when they ask my ethnicity, I put other because I am other. And at the end of the day, it's no specific one thing. I was born to this world like everybody else, but on a higher grade, I consider, because I feel like my mind hasn't been played with the normalities of what everybody else think I'm supposed to fit in and what I'm supposed to do. I've always been different. And I take pride in being different because I see the beauty in everything. Even if you was a prostitute, even if you was a pimp, I think it's redemption in everybody if that's what you choose.
You know what?
Huh?
Well, you know what? Why you said that? I've learned, you know, I've never, you know, my grandma always had a welcoming home. So you could just be from the normal average Joe to high class, to dope fiends, to prostitute.
Right.
You know, my grandma's house, I've seen it all. So, and they all got treated the same. You come up in there, get some good advice. You might get a little pocket change and you get a good meal and a good talk to, and you out the door. But what, you know, I guess, that, you know, that was kind of woven in my fabric. So all my life, I've never had discretion or a bias against any type of person or people. I've learned a lot from a lot of people that somebody would probably never even feel comfortable walking on the sidewalk next to. But I've learned so much from so many people. It's been a blessing. You know what I mean?
Right. Because that's why it's like my 41 years of living, I love the person that I've evolved in. I've always been a special type of child. Like I used to go find people, kids in the store, and be like, mommy, look at this baby. Isn't this baby cute? You know, I've always loved children. I always knew that I was going to be somebody's mother. I always thought that I was going to be somebody's wife. I was like, oh yeah, if I make it to be this person's wife, that'll be the end all of like, I made it. That's my life, you know, because everybody around me, family was important. You understand? Family still is important. And even in the absence of a man, because my mom and father had got married, but you know they separated, and we'll get into that another time. But you know, my brothers, they are men. They grow up. They don't just like that. You know, even if they do have confrontations with a significant other, you know, when you're young and you're learning, you have to have somebody that you can communicate and talk to that will bring resolution to the situation and not just see it from his standpoint or his wife's standpoint, but from y'all's standpoint, from the kid's standpoint. And it's just like, if you go so deep in things and you don't get that help and nobody really cares, I don't want a yes person around me. I need somebody that's going to check me when I'm wrong. I'm going to need somebody that's going to back me up in my absence. Like the type of friend I am if you're going through something and you call me, I'm gonna talk to you and your man on the phone. Like, hey, come here, you guys, let's have a conversation. Not to be all in y'all business, but this is what love look like. I love people like that. So it's like, if you don't have clothes, I'm not gonna talk about you. I'm gonna help you up. I'm gonna say, hey, I got some extra things. If you don't mind, would you feel, you know, uncomfortable if I gave you or offered you this? I'm never that type of person to sit there and try to talk about you behind your back. People hate that. Like, I speak the facts. I'm like, dude, I can't talk nothing about nobody else because Lord knows where I'd be tomorrow. And I might need somebody to help me off the side of the road or out of my mind. So I don't ever think I'm higher above people. And have to say, it's like with my attitude, when I just say I'm higher above, that's just the way I decided to carry myself, even when I have less than, you know, because that being 6 feet.
I have to share this with you, and you said it to me a couple days ago, and you know, and the feeling is so mutual, but like, you know, me and you, I can call you when I'm going through my highest,
right?
I can call you when I'm in the middle,
right?
Call you at my lowest, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's not too many people that I can do that with. And I know at the end of the day, it's always going to be straight across the board.
Right.
Questions. Like we, you know what I mean? There's certain days where I can call you and you're like, well, you know what I'm saying? You're going to line me up. And there's certain days where you're going to pick me up too.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's certain days where you're going, you know, over this phone or however we're speaking, I know I can fall into your bosom and you know, that's you, my right. sister. Homegirl.
Right.
I don't have a lot of friendship like that, but I value you know what I do have with you, so I love that.
I appreciate that because you know it's been plenty of times when I've been down, and it's the most humbling feeling when you think that you have somebody that you could trust.
Yeah.
And when you turn around and you see like, hey, they don't even care. You know, it's just like I'm a rare type of person. It's a rarity that I have to depend on somebody. Like, you know, I haven't had the luxury of having a bunch of people in my corner that's promoting, hey, Kira, we believe in you. We know we want to see you doing this, you know, and they go out their way to help me. Just because some people don't get the situation or the story right then and there don't mean that you give up on them. All I need sometimes is just somebody to give me some advice, somebody to just see me through and just be there with me. I have had some people, a couple of people, less than a handful, to have my back completely, you know, and I might not understood what they was doing for me then because some of the things that they was doing, I didn't necessarily agree with, but I do hold value in all lessons that I've learned, all things and all people that have molded me into this person that didn't give up on me or did give up on me. All those things are lessons for me to grow and manifest my life the way that I want it to be. So it's like at the end of the day, I'm proud of Cassie because it's nobody's business about what really was going on, but it's just the simple fact of she probably just got tired of seeing him just do what he want to, and that's the most disturbing thing, because when you've been victimized, yes. Who's going to believe you, you know?
That would make you mad. That would get on.
Yeah. Because you know, one day she probably looking at her kids like, this man, they could fall victim to the same thing, and as they mom, if I can't do what I'm telling them, the advice I'm giving them or what I would say to them, how could I even give that advice? We gotta stand up on business too. When I say business, we gotta stand up on business to the point where
we you really get on my disrespect
us. You know what I'm saying? I told myself, I said, honey, I got little eyes looking at me. When I'm crying, they telling me it's gonna be okay. And sometimes I don't know if it's gonna be okay. And I'd be like, my God, Jesus, this is pressure. I wish somebody really understood exactly what it means to be a parent. I love my kids through it all. They bring me back to reality. I'm only alive for them.
Yes.
It's like, but I'm alive for me too. You have to have a balance. You know, I used to love people so much. I didn't know how to love me. And I know that sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
no,
it's not. Always, yeah. You know how you just like the type of woman that
not
I am. They say that they say, oh, you know, black women, they don't do this. And I said, what kind of black woman? You said that I used to pluck hairs from men's face. I'm over here doing this man's feet, taking out his clothes, running bath water, washing, cooking, watching his kids and stuff. I said, and what the hell am I getting back? I'm already performing like I'm somebody's wife, but not only that, what am I receiving in return? I'm getting, oh, I'm insecure. I'm insecure because you ain't spending no time with me because you talking crap. And I know you out here looking at these bras, but it ain't because I wasn't fine because, baby, I was snatched. You understand? It was a simple fact of a man was jealous and he was trying to make me feel impartial to him so that he can go do what he want and have his cake and eat it too. I'm nobody's fool. I'm nobody's toy. I come second to nobody but God. So at the end of the day, it's like the things that a man desire of me, he has to step up to. What you got, baby? I don't need your money. I don't need your sex. I need my mind to be stimulated. I need my heart to be, you know, cuddled. I need my children to be put in position, even if they're not yours. Nobody should even know the difference looking in or looking out. We a family, right? So how does that work? You understand? Communicate with me. You cannot think that you deserve the world when you giving me freaking paper cups and plastic spoons, and I'm giving you gold and freaking platinum. Right. I said, you know what? You got to start holding out for your value, for whatever it is that you believe in. You know, if you walk around like you deserve tinfoil and freaking plastic bags, that's what you're going to get. If you walk around like you deserve a trash bag encrusted with diamonds on the inside and on the outside, it look like a trash bag so people stay out your business, then that's what you'll receive. My home is always happy because I leave all that outside stuff outside. I never question my man on regards of what another woman said unless he acts different, unless I see it and it comes to my face, because I respect this. I said, if I got a question, I'm not going to come and accuse you. I'm going to sit down and talk to you, because I know at the end of the day, if you disrespecting yourself, you damn sure would disrespect me, because I'm not building on top of something that's not solid. I need security. You understand? Because it's all cute until the shit get real. You understand? I said, it's all good until the shit get real. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm really tired of always being misinformed about my situation. I cannot go walking down the street. I deal with a poor man. I deal with a man that work at McDonald's. If he come home, he go do his job. He come home and then he help me with the kids. We help with the house. I'm happy. I'm content. It's not about having all of everything you want. It's about having enough. Being present. I need somebody that wants to go on and embark on this journey together with somebody that's going to be faithful. When you leave, you don't have to be worried about me being up in your friend's face, because your friends won't be up in my space because you're not here. So at the end of the day, they going to know where they stand, because, honey, I ain't going to have to check them, because they going to fall in line, because they going to be doing what they need to do. I'm not going to allow that. So you shouldn't have to come question me. You understand? The people that's around you should be just like the person that you decided to lay in the bed with. If I can't trust my friends, I can't trust my man. If I can't trust my man, I can't trust my friends. Because they go two and two. These are people that's going to have my back. I can't be out here looking stupid, right? So it's like, at the end of the day, if you think about it like that, then your life should be smooth. If you don't look it like that, then honey, what are you doing? Because I'm not going to hang out with a bunch of loose, skanky sluts that sleep with everybody else, man, and think they're not going to sleep with mine. And, you know, vice versa. So you have to set the tone and the standard.
You know, as this year is closing out, man, I tell you, I've learned so much since 2018, 2019, right?
Girl.
But it's just been different. It's been in so many different phases. Right. Like right now, and I'm so glad that I'm able to be aligned the way I'm being aligned right now and guided, right?
Right.
It's people. I've been in a position to where, you know what I'm saying, whether I'm in a good position or a bad position, I've been in a position to where I can set myself up to secure my future as far as people who I want moving forward with me.
Right.
I've been able to see them
right
clearly. I've been able to read them. I've been able to know who I want around me right. and who I don't. Man, it's been so amazing, and I know I'm not done with this journey, but you know, I'm being so polished.
Right.
And
I call it skip and
clip. It hasn't been. I can't say this. It's been amazing. Nah, I've been having to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But boy, when I tell you, when I get this this table aligned here. Baby, you know what I'm saying? And dinner set, I know who will be eating with me at the table, but you know, I don't know why I've been so blinded, I guess, with so many things. I guess self-care, self-discovery, focusing on me has not been a primary, but now that it is, man, I'm loving it, because I know how I'm going to be moving every day
of my life. Transitioning, you know, I used to tell people when I was lost in the world before I found myself, I said, you know, I told my little self, I said, you know, what's wrong with us? had these conversations, and I was like, you know, I used to look in the mirror and say, what do I love about me? I couldn't think of anything because the way that the world, society was, you know, you got to be this, you got to be that. I was these things that was almost like a sign of perfection, or what I had a vision of perfection, or, you know, something that would make me solidified in my position as a woman of color. And it was wrong, inaccurate, because, like, you know, there's no such thing as perfection. I'm imperfectly perfect, and I'm happy to be that. But all I can do is strive to be better for me. That's, you know, all what I want to do. You know?
This one, if anybody is perfect, I'm scared of you. I don't want to be nowhere around you. But that's the thing about it. I strive, I don't want to say for perfection, but I strive to be better than who I was yesterday and last year and last month and all that good stuff. Like, I make sure that, you know, it's not perfection. I just make sure that, and it may look like perfection to other people, but I love to take care of me now. I love to care for me first, because, you know, at the end of the day, when I do that, the reflection that I give to myself and to others, and the energy and that I get into the world, like, it's different, you know what I'm saying? But it's not perfection, you know what I'm saying? But I do strive for excellence within myself, but I'm not in competition with anything but me, right? You know?
And even with the competition with ourselves, it's like, you know, my competition is like, you know, I look at my ancestors, and I look at my family, and I just look at society, and I always think, I say, you know, wow, what went wrong in this person's life to make them think that they had to do this or that? People always trying to fit in, you know, when you a misfit or you different and everybody want to tease you, you know, like if you don't have the coolest shoes and stuff. I'm telling you, I was on my money so tough, like, you know, you couldn't tell me nothing. Like, I consider to other women, you know, I'm like, I can go to the Goodwill. Been going to the Goodwill, I pick up some stuff and I make it look like that dress came from wherever. And I'm like, it was $3, all the $3 under 20 for sure, you know. But I learned to appreciate the value of what I have and make do with what I have, you know. So, like, people always want to fit in. I want to stand out the crowd. I was always that girl. Like, I was coming down the hallway in high school, they'd be like, we know when London come in, hear her big mouth, hey y'all, you know, happy. I'd be at home struggling, I'd be in there braiding people here. I said, you don't even know the torment and torture that I go through just to get to school, but it ain't nobody business but mine, because who wants to hear somebody's problems? People always act like you complain. And I say, you know, when my life get hard, sometimes I just have to make a comment about, like, damn, this shit, I'm sick of this shit, you know? But then I feel like,
that's why we stay laughing too.
Right. And I be thinking, I said, you know, other people that got real bad. I was watching the Discovery Channel or something. And then I saw this man, he was walking by with no legs. So imagine that. I was like, shoot, let me shut up. You understand? Because if I had to deal with that, how would I be? You know, so it's like, I get inspired by the little things. People don't take enough time to stop and smell the roses, or just to breathe in air, just let it resonate. Like, somebody ain't waking up today. So let me be appreciative for the things, because if I wake up and I'm enclosed in my right mind and I got an opportunity, that opportunity could change my life. You understand? I'm so hungry that it makes me sick if I just waste a day away. Like, I don't know how to just relax, because I feel like my mom worked hard her whole life. You know, she tried to do the best that she could with this situations in life that had occurred, and I never seen her give up. She still fight, you know? So it's like, who am I to just think that I deserve everything easy? I say, you know, I'm a parent, I'm a mother, and that means something to me. You understand? Yeah. And I can't force nobody to love what I created. I can't force nobody to stay and be a fixture in their life and do what they're supposed to. But I tell my daughters and my sons, I said, I don't talk bad about their father if because he is absent, a couple of them, whatever. And the reality of it is, I said, you know, all you can do is pray for those people. But out of sight, out of mind, I said, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. You got somebody that's right here. I ain't never left your side. I'm a cheerleader for you. They don't feel holy, like, oh, you know, my friend got this and that, because they don't even see what they missing, because I'm right here, and I fulfill those voids. You know, I can only do as a mother, but if I project anger and bitter and frustration, that's what they gonna feel like, they missing out on something. I said, honey, we ain't got time to trip off of day dad. I don't say nothing. If he want to come see him, I let him see, but I'm right there, because I tell him, I don't know you, bruh, back it up. This they belong to me. And I'm crazy about what I made, because, honey, I make sure they eat every night. I don't call you whining and crying, but if you come at me in a way, honey, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about, bruh. And I'll run that to their mama, their grandmama, whoever, because it's an absence of men. It's an absence of people that have understanding, that cares. it's not just about financially what you give. It's about the time, because it takes time out of somebody else's life to be something for somebody else that you're not even doing. So don't challenge me, because I'm up for it, baby. It's all these is facts. You understand? So it's like Cassie and Diddy and Aaron Hart and all these type of people. I've been with somebody that was like Aaron Hart that just thought he's like, oh, I got, you know, all they dick. Keep your dick. Okay? But nobody cares about that, buddy. Nobody. Okay? Nobody cares about that. And then you taking people, cool? What if she had AIDS? I hope you take it, baby. Yeah, take it. Take it. Okay? Because you deserve every piece of what you're getting.
It wasn't about nothing.
Right. And that lets you know they'd do a dog, a cat, somebody, grandmama. You just entitled to whatever you think you desire. Honey, please. Okay? Somebody going to have something for you that you really ain't ready for. And
well, no.
It's going to be all of that.
No, it wasn't like that, because yours are fast, but you see what yeah, like I said, these old good retrogrades and what is it that the what is it called? The Aquarius, like
Aquarius.
I think it's busting open. The truth is coming to life.
Oh yeah, oh it is, because the thing is this, you know what? In every aspect of life is light and dark. And I pride myself on being a beacon of the truth.
I can't ask nobody
to speak on me and try to make me look better when I know that I'm telling the truth. Because if somebody telling you something, their story ain't changing. It's been years and I ain't even getting no money for my truth. I'm just out here talking because I was losing my mind. I said, Jesus, what's going to happen to me if I really had to depend on somebody to make sure that I was okay? Because when I was getting abused, these people watched me get the brakes beat out of me. I said, okay, I'm asking people like, hey, is this normal? You know, I got to ask, because I can't go to my family, because one, I wasn't built like that. My family know I'll whoop your ass in a minute. Yes. It's something about somebody loving you and putting you in a mental place where you're captive. And I mean, that stuff is real.
You know what I want to say? You just put me in the mind frame of the Hermetic principles. And this is what I was saying before you got to talking.
My bad.
Babe, you good. This is like a karma. This is like a cosmic karma. I don't give a fuck what's going on. Energy is real. Everything catches up with you. The Hermetic principles, the seven Hermetic principles are real. You know what I'm saying? Duality, opposite, attract, all the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, there's nothing that you can put out into the universe that won't come back to you. And it may take some years, but it's coming. So at the end of the day, this is what's happening. This is being busted wide open. Right. You know? And it's not just for them, it's for everybody and all. So
right,
you know,
they're not the only ones.
So when I tell everybody how to react and respond with these retrogrades, nobody, there's no exceptions to the rules and the laws for nobody.
Right.
Y'all, we all pay for something. Believe that.
Right, and I feel like even when I, you know, when I used to get beat up, and I used to ask myself, I used to basically rationalize with myself. I'm like, maybe I did something. Maybe it's my fault because nobody was speaking up and trying to help me, you know. And then when I did open my mouth, everybody looking at me like I'm stupid. And I'm like, well, I can't just move because, you know, I'm in a situation. You understand? And sometimes mm-hmm. they get you like that to where they make you feel like nobody believe you because people been watching you get belittled and disrespected and you've been going for it this long. You know, they don't even believe that you want help. But it's like, how bad is the beating going to be if I do decide to talk about it and I ain't got nowhere to go or, you know, whatever. So it's like emotionally you're damaged and it takes courage. Like it took me 7 years to get out of my situation. And it was crazy because the last time we saw each other, he had, died that same evening the next day. And I woke up out of my sleep and it was something that was so surreal and it forever changed my life. And I was just like, wow, you know, because I still had love for that person, but God must have knew that if he wasn't taken out of my life, the person that I used to be, he probably could have convinced me to come back. You know, I don't think I would ever let him put his hands on me because, you know, after I whooped him up real good that one time I served him a side of potato salad and some ham, you know, and it was done. But it was like, it shouldn't have got to that point because I had been severely beaten down constantly, consistently to where I just was like, I'm over it. You understand? And I couldn't deal with it no more. I didn't want my kids to think that this behavior was okay, that it was normal. And I didn't have nobody there to save me but me and God. And I had to talk to myself. And I'm proud that I got over that. But it took time, you know, because even to this day, I have to question, like, was it real? You know, if I didn't have the pictures of the bruises and stuff, you know, I would, in my mind, people would act like I was making it up.
The one thing about the scales, they always balance themselves, period.
Yeah.
Forevermore. That's what it's always going to be. And people don't realize that. This is why, man, the spiritual thing and having an understanding and knowing thyself and, you know, correcting me, you know what I'm saying? Right. Knowing how to operate out here. This is why this is so important to me. And this is the way that I live my life. It's not a joke. Whether this podcast exists or not, this is who I am and what I'm going to be and how I'm going to move. So, right. And I'm going to push positivity with that though. And I'm not going to act like positivity is just always what it is. I have to go through it to get to it all the time.
Right.
But you know, I pay more attention now. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I know how to adjust and I know how to adapt, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that. But, you know, I do want to close this out though. And, you know, being that you and I both have experienced the same thing that we're talking about as far as breaking the silence, you know, I want to give some words of encouragement to all of us, anyone that is going through anything, especially the things that we spoke about in this podcast. You know, in the face of darkness, your voice becomes a beacon of strength. Speaking up against domestic violence and sexual abuse is an act of courage that empowers not only yourself, but countless others. Your words have power to break the silence and spark change. So stand tall, for your voice can shatter chains that bind, inspiring resilience and fostering a community of support. And just, I want everyone to know that you're not alone and your courage can be a catalyst for healing and justice. So, you know, I want to end that with that.
Beautiful.
Thank you, my friends. Always peace and love. I usually try to end with some kind of a health tip or a hair tip. Or
don't eat fast food.
Yeah, that part for the most part. But, the you know, I guess I want to end this with, based on what the content of what we talked about is, mental health. You know, I just want to tell people to take care of themselves, take care of your well-being. Mental health is everything. You know what I'm saying? How you feel about yourself, what you project into the world. Just always, man, I hope, I wish people can find some type of positivity to uplift themselves, but mental health is everything. So if you do need help, I'm always here. Hit me on the email. You know what I'm saying? But mental health is everything. I want everyone to please take care of themselves and especially love you, because I definitely love me. So I guess we're going to close this thing out. So peace and bliss always. And until next time.
Ashe, Papa.
Okay.
Thank you for having me. I had such a great time. Hopefully everybody will enjoy the message and just stay positive.
Peace.